if you'll turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I guess you could say this is a New Year's Day, New Year's resolution type message, and I hope it's encouraging for you because I believe we can use this each and every day. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Bible says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do ask you to help me today. Lord, help those that will watch. I believe this, as all messages, the Word of God can change lives. It can transform how we live. It can transform how we produce fruit in our life. It can transform a dull day to a bright, brand new beginning. And that's what we're really talking about in this message, Lord, being renewed day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this message here, it's real simple. Beginning a new day, and really my thoughts are centered around verse 16, but I want to share with you in just a minute about verse 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And it seems for me so simple to just read that verse and it just jumps off of the page at us. It jumps out to me. Yes, we get weak in our physical being, but the inward man, the spiritual, the indwelling Holy Spirit renews us day by day. So let's look at this from the top, from verse 15. He says, "For all things." What things could Paul be talking about? What things could he be entering into this? Well, if you look at this chapter, there's a lot of things that you could be talking about. He says in verse 1, seeing we have this ministry. He could be talking about the ministry that you and I have. And you say, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a deacon, I'm not a this or I'm not a that. Yes, we all have a ministry. If you're saved, you're born again, you have a ministry. I have a ministry, and you know, maybe some of us have a title, but your ministry could be and is just as important as anyone's in the kingdom work that we are doing. He says we have this ministry. And he goes through and gives a few things, and like I said, this is not the message, but he says in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." So here we see a demonic force pushing against this ministry that we're in. And then he talks about proclaiming Jesus Christ, proclaiming the Savior. And he talks about us being the light of the world in a sense in verses 6 and in 7, the earthen vessels. You and I have a ministry. You and I can shed the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That I find that amazing. I find that unique. I find that ultra just exciting to think about God using us, these earthen, these made of dust vessels. And he says in verse 8, which starts the reason I think why we have the verse that we're going to really focus on, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that," and here's where it turns upward, "the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Remember, Jesus died on the cross, right? but he rose from the grave. He rose up out of the grave. He rose victorious over death, over sin, and over the grave. And that's what Paul is centering his thoughts about. Now, could there be more things in verse 15 where he's, could there be more to all these things? Yes, there could be. But let's look at that verse. He says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now this, again, is an exciting verse, and I've done told you that verse 16 is where my main focus is going to come from. But in verse 15, it tells us the abundant grace. You know, God's grace is overwhelming. You know, the acronym for it is God's riches at Christ's expense. But let's think about the excess glory. Think about the glory of God. It says abundant and then it says redound. Those words are very similar, if you will, and they have the meaning a lot similar, but they're not the same. Abundant in that sense means superabundant. In other words, a lot. And it says that though that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. What we're doing in our ministry, in our lives, we are glorifying God. We are doing everything we can to the honor and glory of God. Now, you can be out of fellowship with God. You can be living a life of sin and you will not bring glory to God. But here Paul says through all these statements that he says here in chapter 4, and we could include other things, a persecution and other likes that would come from other places as well. But no, here he says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant, the superabundant, the overwhelming amount of grace might through the thanksgiving of many. In other words, all these people that are in this ministry, all these people that are working against those demonic forces, all these people that are proclaiming the gospel and that are shining the light of Jesus Christ across the world and to the lost and dying world, all these people that are going through these distresses, these perplexing issues. 2020, no doubt, has been a perplexing year, has it not? It's been difficult for the Christian, for the church, for the pastor, for the church member to go to church, whether or not to go to church, wear a mask, all those kind of things. But I'm here to tell you, we're talking about an eternal thing now. When we get to the end of this, we're talking about an eternal way to glory. But everything that we do in verse 15 tells us that this will redound. Now that word redound means, let's put it this way. You and I expect God to be able to do the impossible, correct? This word redound means if we expect God to do the unexpected, he can do even more than that. In other words, it's more than what we can even calculate in our mind. It exceeds our fixed expectations. It goes over that. It superabounds over that. So that and the word abundant, it says, kind of goes together. It says to the glory of God. What is the glory of God? What is all this about? Well, it's to the honor and the praise and the worship of God, and even the opinion when we get to experience God. I've said this often, faith exercise is faith experienced. If we exercise faith in God and we sense from the Holy Spirit, we are led by the Holy Spirit and we are obedient and we see God work, we experience faith. In other words, if we exercise faith in God, he will allow us to experience what that faith can do to the glory of God. Do you get that? Now, Paul, like I say, we're not going through the beginning of this chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because I want to really look at verse 16. It says, for which cause we faint not. How many grow weary? How many grow tired? How many just in your day-to-day life? How many get worn down by what the life brings for us? See, this physically being physically exhausted But here we see being spiritually renewed. We may be physically tired. We may even be mentally worn down, grow weary. But this verse here in verse 16, he says that we will be renewed day by day. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And here's the refrigerator verse, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be faint. They shall not walk and not faint. Another verse to think about is Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What I'm saying is when most people get tired, most people get physically and mentally worn down, they have to seek, you know, other ways, sleep, other types of mental rest to get that strength back. But here God's word is telling us that the Holy Spirit will renew, will reinvigorate, re-strengthen our desire, our drive, if you will. It means to renovate. That word renew means to renovate, to cause to grow up new, to make new. Even in a dictionary, it says to revive or to be revived. How many of you would like to have your Christian life revived? How many of you would like to have something grow out of your Christian life that would be exciting? That's what this word is saying. How many people do you know that got saved and they started trying to serve God, trying to read their Bible? They failed, they slipped, maybe they didn't do as good as they thought they should have. And then all of a sudden they grow weary, they grow physically. Maybe they're not physically to where they can't walk, but they're physically frustrated by the attempt of living the Christian life. The Holy Spirit will come in if they will just stick with God. As Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall not walk, and they shall not, I've got that all wrong there at the end, I'm sorry, and they shall walk and not faint. They shall not be weary. That's the part I was missing on that. But I'm here to tell you, folks, the Word of God tells us that, and I believe it's true. Think about the characters you see in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. You see Paul extending or expending a lot of energy, walking, traveling, establishing churches, doing those types of things. You would think someone after all those years would say, you know what, I'm tired. But he always seemed to have something within him that the world didn't have. He had something that the religious people didn't have. He had Jesus Christ within him. He had that resurrection power. I want to take you back up here and read a verse here, if I can find it. In verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul's writing this. He says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. You know, there's a life in the believer that's not in the lost world. There is a power living within us that doesn't live in the lost world. That's why they can't understand why we would do what we do, why we would give to missions, why we would go to church and sing songs, why we would get dressed up and go to church on Sunday morning, why we would pray, why we would read our Bible, why would we go and minister to the poor, why would we witness to the lost, why would we do all that? Sometimes we are maligned, sometimes we are persecuted. Why would we do that? Why? Because in the inward man, we are renewed day by day. And Paul goes even farther than that in this explanation for this beginning a new day. Remember, this is for those New Year's Eve resolution makers. If you want to make a difference in 2021, what do you want to do? I think that Jesus Christ in people's lives would make a bigger difference than any weight loss program or any exercise or any other type of vow you could make or New Year's resolution you could make. He says in verse 17, and he remember he's talking about persecution and all these things. He says there he's troubled. Verse 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body of Jesus Christ. He says there in verse 17, for our light affliction. What does that mean? Where does that come into the program or the picture? Well, that word affliction means pressure. And I think in America today, we will begin to see, as the days, weeks, and years go by, we'll see more pressure or persecution, maybe the word that we would recognize quicker. But that word affliction means pressure. That means a burden, persecution, tribulation, or trouble. Paul says, for our light affliction, our light pressure, our light persecution, our light tribulation. He says, which is but for a moment. We put our lives that we live in this flesh as being everything that we have. Think about that for just a second. I believe that we should recognize birthdays. We should recognize those things, and we should love people. I'm not even going in that direction, but what I'm saying, we forget about something. We forget that this is not our home. This is not where we're going to spend the biggest part of our life. This life, as the Bible says, is as a vapor. It is there and then it's gone. This life is where we have the light affliction. This life is where we shine the light. This life is where we proclaim the gospel. We're the light for the Lord. And this life is where we give glory to God. And it is, again, as that verse says up there, it's abundant. It redounds. It exceeds anything that we expect. But Paul says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We put all of our, if you will, life in this ball of wax here, and we somehow sense that when we die, it's over. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not over. It's just about to begin. That's when the good life comes. That's when, if we look at it in today's thought processes, a lot of people think that when they retire and they can start sitting on the porch, those are going to be the good days. Some teenager may say they're living in the best days. Some person in their 20s and 30s that feel like they're at the prime of their life, they're the most productive, they may think those are the greatest days. But I'm telling you, for the child of God, the greatest of days is coming in eternity when we get to bow before our Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, holy, 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 and we get to spend eternity praising Him and worshiping Him. And that's where that exceeding eternal way to glory is going to be. Don't ever forget, we do not spend eternity on this earth. We will not continue in pain. As Revelation 21 says, when we get to heaven, all those things will be passed away and all things will become new. We shouldn't think about this world as being the biggest part of our life. The biggest part of our life is coming in eternity. So being physically exhausted, Paul says in this life, we had the Holy Spirit, something the world doesn't have, that will reinvigorate, will strengthen us or re-energize us for the next day. I read a commentary about this verse, and the commentator said something like when I think he was in his 60s, he told his wife he wished that he was 35 and knew what he knew at that point in his 60s. That probably wouldn't work, because then we would probably mess it up and we would want to be 25 when we knew what we knew at 35, whatever the case may be. Folks, look, we're living this life to grow in our faith. We're living this life to grow spiritually. We're living this life to bring honor and glory to God. It's not what we see, it's what we will see. That's my last point here tonight. I want to look at the verse, the last verse in this chapter. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I hadn't even planned on going to this scripture, but I'm going to ask you to go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. And give us a, I guess you would call this a kind of a horrifying look at the end. It says in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now this has little to do with the renewing of that spirit, but I just want to give you a thought process or a thought to put in your mind. If you're lost, you don't have that exceeding weight of glory to look for. You don't have an eternal home to look forward to. And if we just move over to chapter 21 of Revelations, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely." God offers eternal life to all those that would put their faith and trust in God. His plan of redemption, which is his Son alone. That's the only way you can find salvation. That's the only way, that's the only path of it is. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if we look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and read this verse 18 again. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Did you get that? Paul says we don't need to look at the things we can see. Now that makes little logical sense to us, really. But if you'll read your Bible, if you will pray and ask God to give you that spiritual vision, he will give you a vision of something that's coming so much greater than what we have here today. So as you begin your New Year's, as you begin your tomorrow, which will be the New Year's Eve, I want you to think about this, the beginning of each new day. You can be renewed. You can be revived. You can be re-energized for each and every day. No matter how physically or mentally worn, the Holy Spirit can give you that vitalization that you need, because he finishes up the verse and says, "For the things which are seen are temporal." What does that word temporal mean? It's pretty easy to figure it out. It's for a season and during only for a while. It's temporary. It's temporary. That's what the Bible says. It's temporary. But the things which are seen are eternal. And what does eternal mean? Without beginning and end, that which always has been and always will be. It's everlasting. It's never to cease. Now, I got a couple of questions, and they're real easy questions. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible is true? We've read enough verses here tonight to allow each and every one of us that's saved to know that the ministry and the proclamation of the gospel is indeed worth it all, because we don't want to see those people cast into the lake of fire in the end. We want them to be in chapter 21, where all things are made new, all things are without pain, crying, no more suffering, sorrow, all those things. I'm asking you, where are you going to look tomorrow? When you get up, are you going to look for the temporal things, or are you going to look for the eternal things? I think that's key for us as we look to start a new year. Tomorrow will be New Year's Eve. I'm asking you to do this. Maybe read these verses or some verses that maybe are will strongly lead you. I'm asking you to read these verses and pray and ask God to help you see the things that are eternal above the things that are temporal. I know we had to see what we're doing to work and all those things. That's logical. But look at the weight. Look at the exceeding weight and the glory that God will get if we look upon the eternal and put our focus on that. I'm just asking you to do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you do. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I pray for that person that's heard this message. Maybe they're resisting. Maybe the devil is speaking in their ear and saying, hey, you can't give your life, the control of your life over to God. I'm saying that God says yes, and it will bring more glory to him, and it will be more beneficial in the end by far, without even a comparison, when we honor and praise and worship God and bring and put our life in position to bring about more glory to him with each and every action that we take, when we look at the things that will be of eternal value and not the temporal. And I pray for anyone else, Lord, that has any other struggles tonight. Lord, maybe somebody needs to get saved. They've never, ever put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Today is the day that God has given salvation, because his son has died on the cross. He's rose from the grave. And the salvation and eternal life is there for the asking for those that would put their faith and trust in him. So I thank you. I praise you. Lord, help me to look to the eternal things with greater focus and greater vision than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to thank you guys for watching on Facebook. It's really been really good to be with you tonight. And